this in the scriptures. And I know you got all the Mother's Day's plan, and so I'm going to try to help you get on with that. All right, give me a few minutes. Can you find our text today? John chapter 16, verses 20, 21, and 22. And if you're physically able to stand, would you do so? I want to read these verses audibly in your hearing. And then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together as we see what we can extract to help us today. Verse 20, truly, truly, Jesus speaking here, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. Finally, verse 22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy from you. Amen. Our Father, would you help us now as we look together in your word? Would you help us to see and understand what you're saying to your people? Would you make, Holy Spirit, your the intent and the meaning of your word clear? And then would you grant us true hearts of convictions to live according to your will? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Let's see if we can work our way through these verses and benefit together. What we see here is that Jesus is preparing his disciples for both his death and his resurrection, all right? And in doing so, he wants them to know that his death is imminent. He's about to die. It's here. We've talked about it. He's talked about it again and again. But as things approach, as parents do with children, they try to make the urgency of it clear, all right? So he wants them to know that his death and his resurrection are right up on them. It's imminent. It's going to happen. He wants them to know that his death is going to cause sorrow. All right? But his resurrection is going to cause great joy. It's going to be deep, intense sorrow, but his resurrection will bring great joy. And then he's going to use a mother's birth pains and finally the birth of the actual baby to illustrate this point. You get it? So that's the backdrop. And if you'll keep that in mind as we look at these verses, I believe God will make this all clear to us. So let's begin. I want to talk about from these two big thoughts. We're going to look at a mother's sorrow and joy and then a disciple's sorrow and joy, okay? A mother's sorrow and joy is used to illustrate the disciples, or, you know, disciple means a learner, right? And you and I are what? Learners. We're disciples. And so there's something for us to learn here from mothers. If Jesus used the illustration of mothers, that's good enough for me. It's good enough for you? Yeah, yeah. So then let's think about it. A mother's sorrow and joy. I'm going to begin by talking about sorrow. You might remember that it was as a result of Eve and Adam sinning in the garden that the woman's birth pains came to be, okay? Because Eve and Adam disobeyed God. You remember what God said in Genesis 3, right? I will multiply your pain in childbirth, right? In pain you shall bring forth children, right? So it was a result of just clear, obvious, blatant disobedience. The consequence of that is where birth pains entered. Okay? Now, the fact is that what Christ is teaching here is that that pain, Jesus says, the Lord at the beginning says, I will multiply your pain. And so that pain is so intense, okay, that it actually, what Jesus says here, that pain is so intense that it overshadows the joy of that baby to be born. It's that right now, that pain is so intense that it overshadows the joy, and that pain itself produces sadness. Okay, now, us men, you know, all we can do is just kind of nod on this and this. You have to leave that to the mothers to know what I'm talking about, okay? I mean, if Jesus taught it, I can teach it. So from a man's perspective, I'm just teaching what it says. The women know experientially, right? We accept that fact. You see verse 21? You got verse 21? When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. Okay? Now, remember, we're not just talking about labor pains that, you know, happen during the pregnancy. This is the time point of what? Delivery. Okay? When the pains are most intense, right? And for those of us men who've gone through it, you know what that's like. All of the classes don't work. It's phenomenal. I mean, you know, week after week you go to these classes and you take pillows and all kind of stuff because you're getting ready for the delivery. And then when it happens, it's as if you wasted your time because the man becomes hated and, all sorts of things are said. but that's just a fact. The sadness is what takes over at that point, all right? And the man has to realize that. It's like Job. You know, Job says some things he regretted later, and that's what happens when a woman's giving birth. There are things that are said that hopefully she regrets later, but that's just the way it is with the pain and sadness. You got that? Now, you see, the point is that the level of pain overshadows the anticipation of a new baby. That's what Jesus is portraying here, right? All of us have, what do we call them, thresholds. You know, everybody in here can endure some pain, right? But at a certain point, that pain gets so intense that it demands your attention, right? All of us know what that's like. You can be sitting in a meeting, and you start having a little bit of ache or something. You flinch. You fake it with one of those fake faces. You know how we can do that, right? But when it gets to be tough, you can't fake it anymore. Why? That pain demands what? Your attention. And it gets to the point to where it demands your what? Undivided attention. It doesn't matter what's going on. Amen. I got to deal with this pain. Yes? That's what he's portraying. You get this? And so for those of us who haven't had babies, you realize the point with pain. Pain has a level to where it demands your attention regardless of what's going on in your life, right? Whether you're wealthy or poor, tall, short, educated, uneducated, regardless of your race, your religion, or whatever it is, when that pain reaches a specific point, you will give it your undivided attention. Yeah? And it reaches the point to where it does create sadness. Right? Because when the pain is so intense, all you want is what? Some relief. But the sadness comes because you still have what? The pain. We good? Yes? All right. This sorrow, this is Willie speaking here, because from experience. This sorrow is expressed audibly. And that happens with all of us with pain. There's certain pains that you can, you just kind of grunt with. You ever had that? You go along, you just say, you do those kind of things. But when the pain reaches a certain level, there is an audible response to it. We've all know what that's like. And what I'm saying here is that it's audible and dramatic because I'm not trying to impress anybody else. This is my pain, and I'm the one that's hurting, and this is the way I expressed it, that hurt. Yes? And it's emphatic, and it's personal. Okay? I found this verse over here. Can you turn to Isaiah? Isaiah 26. It's very descriptive here. I'll just read this one verse. We won't talk about all of the background around it. But this one verse is very descriptive. You got Isaiah 26:17. It says, like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs when she is near giving birth, so were we because of you, O Lord. Okay? And so the point is that ultimately that pain causes that prospective mother to cry out. And it's amazing for those of us who've been in delivery rooms, particularly in some of the environments that we've been in where you can hear other mothers. You know when delivery time has come. Yes? You don't have to be in the room. You don't have to be behind the curtain. You know it's time because of the audible expression. It's emphatic and it's personal. It's going on in that room, right? And so God describes this pain for a prospective mother, that it's audible, dramatic, and I call it emphatic and personal. And so mothers, I thought about this. Mothers have, most mothers that I know anyway, have a fairly intense level of pain. Some mothers can suffer a lot silently. You remember like Hannah in 1 Samuel? Remember Hannah who didn't have children and she suffered silently a lot. Matter of fact, you remember even when she went to pray, she was there, just there moving her lips. The priest thought she was, you remember, drunk. But she was dealing with her pain, what? Silently, okay? And so mothers can handle a lot of pain silently. But when it comes to childbirth, mothers express that very audibly, right? And that's the point here, is that this sorrow is real, it's dramatic. And the blessing is that this pain is short-lived by God's design. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. God said that I'm going to multiply your pain in childbirth, but it's short-lived. Thank God. Now, labor pains, I'm not saying are short-lived. I'm talking about what? The pain of childbirth is short-lived by design. And so when we think about that, then I want you to see the next point that Jesus made. Because then he goes right on to talk about joy. And what he says is that the birth of a child then overshadows, isn't this wonderful? It overshadows the sorrow and actually produces joy. You see, we just read the first part of verse 21. Look at it again. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts... 21. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for the joy that a human being has been born into the world. And so the birth of a child by God's design is designed to take a woman's focus off of her pain and on to that baby. It's amazing how God can do that. Amen. It's phenomenal, but he does it. Grief, the joy that is expressed audibly, dramatically, emphatically, and personally again. A woman isn't subtle about her joy after a baby is born. Okay? Just as she wasn't subtle about the anguish and the pain beforehand. Okay? So the joy is expressed the same way. And I say this to you as we leave this point. God intended for the joy and fulfillment of motherhood to be for life. Okay? It's for a lifetime. It's not just the fact that the baby is born. God intended children to be a blessing, okay? And for those of us that are parents, we have to see it that way. Children are a what? A gift from God to us, intended to be a blessing to us. And when we receive it that way, we can handle all of the challenges that come with being parents. Yes? It's intended to bring joy and fulfillment for a lifetime for the mother. Now, let's transition and see how that applies to the disciples. The disciples' joy, now Jesus says, is going to happen in the same way. I want to make one statement right up front here. When you are having to talk to people about difficult issues, you have to be discerning about what they can handle. Okay? As a parent, you know that. Your children want to know a lot of things, but you know what they can handle. Okay? And you see the same thing here with Jesus. You see verse 12 of John 16? I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Every one of us needs to recognize that you have to be people. There are people all around you that want to know a whole lot more. You have to be wise enough to know what they can handle. Most people think they can handle way more than they can. Okay? And so even when it comes to sadness, some of us have some difficult situations we're dealing with, and you know you cannot share them just yet with different ones because they can't, they think they want to know, but you know they can't handle it, okay? That's okay. That's wisdom, right? Wisdom from God is to be wise enough to tell people what they can handle, even though they think they can handle more, right? And so that's what you see Jesus doing here. I want you to notice that when it comes to grief, grief and sorrow is a natural response to death. Death is an intruder. Yeah? And sometimes it's a violent intruder, but it is an intruder. It's an intruder into God's good creation. And so when death has intruded and taken away life, it is a natural response for to have grief and sorrow. As a matter of fact, Paul writes to the Thessalonians and says, we grieve, but we what? We don't grieve as those who have no hope. Grief, God, Jesus himself, what? Went to the graveyard there with Lazarus, and what did he do? We know that verse from when we were children, right? Jesus what? He wept. He wept. Why? To look at the consequence of sin in the graveyard. Think about it. Think about all of the graveyards around the world. Think about all of the, I don't even know the number. Think about all of the people in humanity that have died since Adam and Eve. Think of that. All of the animal life that has died since Adam and Eve. All because our first parents disobeyed God. So death brings grief and sorrow. That's a natural response. You see that in the, you got verse 20? Truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. The last thing I want to say about this sorrow is that Jesus is saying here that the world's going to mock you when I die. Imagine your loved one dying and you got people mocking on the outside. Imagine how that would make you feel. You're trying to honor your loved one, and you got people on the outside mocking them, glad, rejoicing that they're actually gone. You see? So that adds to the grief. You see that, the point here? They're going to mock and scorn when I die. And that's going to, you're going to be sad that I've died, but that's going to make it what? Worse. You see? Do you see the intensity of the sorrow? The intensity of the sorrow, it causes pain, what? Within. And that pain within produces the sorrow. And then finally, we want to talk about the disciples' joy, because I have made y'all sad. The idea is that the sadness isn't intended for us to stay sad, right? Just as that the mother, the pain of childbirth wasn't intended for her to stay sad. The pain was leading to what? Joy. Okay, and so it was with the disciples then, and so it is with you and I. Jesus is saying that the resurrection, his own resurrection, would so overshadow the grief of his death that it was going to produce joy in them. You had real sadness and grief. You can't, none of us can imagine how awful it was for those disciples to have followed their Messiah for 3 years, seen him work miracles they've never seen before, felt just wonderfully secure when he was there. When he was there, even Peter was brave enough to take a sword and attack an army when Jesus was there. But now that same Peter, when Jesus was gone, wouldn't even what? Wouldn't even own him. So when Jesus was there, they felt invincible. But imagine how they felt when he was taken away. He told them over and over and over again, but they didn't get it. Just like you and I don't get it oftentimes. God has been preparing us for things, but we didn't get it. And it takes us by surprise. And he knows he has to deal with us where we are. Yes? So the resurrection was designed to produce this joy, even though they had grief. You got verse 22? So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Okay? You've got sorrow now, but when I rise from the dead, it's going to be so wonderfully magnificent that you will forget. That sorrow will be so diminished in your thinking. You see, it's a matter of what you're thinking, Willie. The issues are still in front of you, but when your mind is focused properly, it'll adjust your attitude. As a man thinks, so he is, right? And so the resurrection was going to so focus their thinking and their attention that it was going to produce joy. And this joy is experienced by every believer personally. Okay? He said, I will see who? You again. I will see you. In other words, you're going to see me, but the blessing is going to be the fact that I see you. Now you think of that. You say, well, what kind of sense does that make? Don't you thank God that his eyes on you? Oh, it's wonderful to see God, but I'm thankful that he sees me. Because the Bible says one day every eye is going to see him. Every eye, right? When that regal voice breaks through the clouds and he returns, no longer as a meek and lowly, a meek and lowly Savior. He's returning as a judge. And then it's going to be too late to look up on him. Every eye is going to see him then. But the ones that he sees in his favor will be the ones blessed. The others will be judged. And so when he says, I will see you again, that is a personal blessing. That brings me joy and comfort and encouragement to know that Jesus thinks of me. I will see what? You. That's personal. That brings me joy. Doesn't it bring you joy? I'm thankful that Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his son, right? So that wouldn't perish. Whoever would believe in him would not perish, but what? Have ever left. I'm thankful for the whoever. But I'm thankful that in that whoever is me. Aren't you? Amen. Whoever is wonderful. But I'm thankful that I'm in the whoever. Yeah, that's what gives me joy. Yeah. Yeah. And so he says, I'll see you again. That makes it personal, doesn't it? Yeah, that makes it personal. And then finally you notice that this joy is designed to be eternal. Just as that baby, after that baby is born, God doesn't intend for the joy to end just on the day of birth. He intends for that baby to be a joy for the rest of their life, okay? And so it is with this joy. With Christ, it's eternal. You see, it's just a picture, but it's a picture of how this joy is to be eternal for us. You see how he said, you got verse 22? So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Isn't that good? Yeah. And that's true today. If you're a Christian, you're sitting here today, and you're sad, your situation didn't take your joy. You gave it up. If there's a Christian here without joy, you gave it up to the situation. Yeah? Amen. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, what? Joy. If you're a Christian and the Spirit is there, what? The joy is there. Yes? Amen. Stop giving it up. That's the only reason we can count it all. Joy when we encounter trial. I don't get joy out of the trial. The joy is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is what strengthens me. Right? And so this joy is designed to be eternal. No one takes it from us. Not one Christian in here can anything in this world take your joy. Jesus was there suffering more agony than any human being has ever experienced. And Hebrews says, well, what? What was set before him? For the joy set before him, what? He endured the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. Joy, what? In that kind of suffering? It was the joy looking ahead. Yeah. You and I brought Jesus joy. Amen. Joy. And you and I have to keep our eyes fixed on him. Yes, Lord. When our eyes are fixed on him, it says that that's what we are to do, right? Yes. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, you and I are to run our race. Because yes, he's the author and perfecter of our faith. Yes, he gave you a race, and you a race, and you a race, and me a race. And I need to run mine. You need to run yours with what? Joy. Yes, stop complaining and fussing about it. Stop letting sadness lead the way. Let joy lead the way. God's already given it. Receive it and go on with it. Yeah? Go on with it. The race, it's a race. It's not supposed to be easy. Yeah? Thank God for that, but the joy is there available. Joy in life comes when we focus and meditate on Jesus. Not on our pain, not on our problems. Focus on Jesus. Focusing and talking about our problems can never produce joy. Think about it. How many times have you talked yourself into joy by talking about your problem? Won't happen. That's not God's design. You got to focus on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of my faith. And he promises to get me home safely. He promises to help me see all, regardless of how difficult life is, he promises to help me see. Willie, everything you will ever experience in life, I sum up as a light, what? Momentary affliction. That's perspective. But I can't have it by looking at my problems, because some of my financial problems are way too big to seem like they're going to be solved. Or my medical problem, or my family problem, or my church problem, you see. You will not have victory by looking at your problems. You won't find any joy. Think about how many Christians do that, though. We get with each other, and it's like we do fish stories. You tell me your problem, I tell you mine. And we have these, what do they call these sessions, group sessions. What is it? Yeah, you know, and who comes out of that? Right. Doing good. And if you want to get together with some folks and talk about the Lord and talk about what He has to say about your problem, that's different. But just sitting around talking about whose issue is the worst, and you know, that's not God's design. Yes? Think about that. I'm trying to represent. Think about that. Think about a mother that does nothing to talk about her delivery pain. Day after day after day. You see? She doesn't enjoy life. Because what? She's stuck on the pain. Right? Jesus says that you need to enjoy. I got joy right in front of you. But you still focusing on the past. And he says you need to learn to what? Forget those things that lie behind. Right? Reach forward to those things that lie ahead and what? Press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the life of the Christian. That's where joy is found. Joy. Just like that mother has to find joy, God says that we must do the same. Well, you've been patient. Praise the Lord. This pattern. This is a pattern of life for mothers and for us all. Life is filled with sorrow and joy. Get it? Life is filled with sorrow and joy. Brother Anthony is one of his favorite verses. Weeping may tarry or what? Endure for the night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. God never intends for the whole life to be weeping. Joy is coming. Joy is out in front of you. Press on. Finish. You're going to find out when you get done with this trial on the other side of it, joy is waiting on you. But God wants you to have joy as you're going through it, because you know what you're moving toward. Neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, powers, height, depth, nothing shall what? Separate us from the love of God. So whatever you're going through, God still loves you. And He's going to bring you through it. Amen? Yes. And so this is a pattern of life. And the thing is, for the Christian, you know that God controls all circumstances in your life. If you don't know it, get it today. God is in control of everything in everybody's life. There is no way the level of pain, the level of issue, the circumstances you're going through, if God didn't permit it, it can't happen. He's either sovereign and ruling everything or nothing. Yes? He is in control of all circumstances so that trouble and sorrow cannot last always. It can't do it because God's in control of it. Amen? Yes. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. I didn't say what you think you can bear. He won't allow you to be tempted on beyond what you're really able to bear. How many times have you bore more than you thought? You felt like this is just the last straw until you find out you got another straw. Right? I hit rock bottom, and then you find out there's another bottom. Right? See, it's not what you think. It's what He knows. He knows how much you can bear. He knew that Job could handle a lot more than Job thought. And Job was for sure, I need to hear from God. God helped Job handle it and not hear from God. He heard from a whole lot of people that didn't know what was going on, but God brought him through it. He never denied God. He never blamed God. All right? You can handle a lot more than you think. See, we look at those saints in the first century, and you wonder, I wonder how I would do if I was in the arena with lions about to eat me. How would I do if I was about to be skinned alive? You know they did that for Christians. Take you and skin you alive. How would I do if they were going to dip me in tar and put me up on a spike and use me as a candle, as light for night? You see? How would I do if I was the one that's being tied between two horses and going to be ripped apart? You see? You think, well, oh, boy, they had way more courage than I did. No, they didn't. God says, my what? Grace is sufficient. You can handle anything that I permit and bring into your life. I know, that's chilling. But you have to, if you're going to trust God, you got to trust him to the end. Amen. You and I can handle everything that he brings our way. And we got to learn to handle it with and in joy. See, it's easy to talk about that when we're all here together. But it's a whole lot different when you're looking at all them bills and, you know, you're wondering how it's going to work out. Or, you know all of our different situations. But the fact is, not only can you handle more, you can handle it getting worse. And you can handle it taking longer than you think. See, we got to stop waiting for the thing to be over before we can have joy. Okay? Yes? God wants us to have joy in life. Our grief and sorrow in life will be overshadowed by the joy of the resurrection each time we meditate on Christ's victory and his death. The victory over death. This joy is eternal. It carries us through life until the time we finally see Jesus face to face. Yola, that was a wonderful verse. Can you turn to 1 Corinthians 13? We're good. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 12. You got it? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Isn't that good? Face to face. We are going to see him, 1 John 3 says, as he is. As he is, it's going to happen. So God then helps us to see. You will move through life and you will be faithful. You will persevere to the end until you see me face to face. It's going to happen. And he's going to bring us through. This joy helps every Christian mother face life every day. And this joy is designed to help all Christians in life face all of our trials. It's the same joy. The joy that God gives to a Christian mother is the same joy he'll give to every Christian. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen? Amen. We love life and have good days. Because the joy of the Lord strengthens us, and no one will ever take this joy from us. If you are not a Christian, you're going to experience pain and grief and suffering in life too. But if you're not a Christian, you won't know anything about this joy I'm talking about. You can hear me talk about it. You can hear others talk about it. But you won't know this joy by looking at it from the periphery. If you're going to know this joy, you've got to know the author of this joy. It's the joy of the Lord. If you're going to know this joy, you've got to come to Christ. He is the one that will give you joy in all of life. You are going to have, Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble. It's going to happen. So young people, I'm telling you, I know you hear me say this every week, but you have got to come to Christ yourself. No one can do it for you. You've heard me and others say before, our parents took us to church just like yours are doing for you. But I had to come to Jesus for me. You've got to come to Jesus yourself. And he will forgive your sins and make you a new person. You'll never be the same again. Whether you're young or old, I invite you to come to Christ today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and faithfulness in every way. Thank you for mercies that we have come to appreciate day by day. Father, we ask you now to make these truths clear. Where I have not been clear, where my thoughts or words may have been cloudy, Lord, you're able to solidify these truths in the hearts of these listeners. Would you work now, Holy Spirit, for your glory and bring one soul to Christ, bring encouragement to those who are here, who know you, who have been gripped by sadness. Lord, restore again your joy, the joy of the Lord, and do it for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.